Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles open to the book of Luke. If you live in the Upper Peninsula in the Eastern End, you woke up to snow this morning, and some of our live streamers, that is so foreign to them, especially in the month of April. But you know, it's going to go away. It's a springtime snow. I always encourage myself that way. It's a springtime snow. It could be gone before the day is done, gone before the week is gone for sure. Might be gone before church is done this morning, and thank the Lord for that. You know what it says in the Bible? April showers bring May flowers. It doesn't say that in the Bible anyway. No, that's not the King James Version. The Uper Version is April showers help melt the snowbanks. That's in somebody's Bible somewhere. And we come to church always all concerned about things that really don't amount to a hill of beans. And some of them are genuine concerns. Some of them aren't. I love, Galenia mentioned something while the choir was warming up down there. She said, Pastor, I got a question. I thought it was serious. I've actually had about 3 or 4 serious Bible questions. When you're studying the book of Revelation in adult Sunday school, there's always people, and they come up to me and they ask me about this or commented on this and ask me about that. 3 or 4, and Galenia, this is how her mind works. She said, Pastor, why is it in your Bible you let those ribbons hang out the front like that? Why are we concerned about things like that? I said, Galenia, do you know why I do that? Just to bother you. Yes. Next week, there's probably going to be a red ribbon hanging down here as well. And if there was ever a chance I was going to use, and I do use them from time to time, they're bookmarks. But if there's ever a time, now I'm not going to. They're going to be hanging out there all of the time. Stand with me, would you please? Luke in chapter 14. And let me read the first 6 verses, and we'll get into the service this morning and trust that God will bless your heart. This is the last year of Jesus' ministry, likely. After this, it's on to Calvary. He speaks some parables here, several chapters in a row. Parables concerning that righteousness and the kingdom and the church and world evangelism and to Israel and the church. And we need to apply it just that way. Probably in Galilee. And it's on the Sabbath day, and it's a dinner time. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day. Interesting, he was eating with a chief Pharisee. And Jesus is concerned about everybody, all classes of people, everybody, no matter what their lot or level in life is, that they watched him. Very critical eye. They're watching the master as he eats, how he interacts with the people. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. This is an ailment that has to do with retaining water. The only reason we know that is how the word is made up as far as definition. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Because he knew they would be criticizing him. And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And answering them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him up out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. Father, we come to you this morning. We pray for direction in this message. God, I pray that you'd help me as a pastor of this flock, of this New Testament church, as the under shepherd, nobody big, nobody important, but the one that you have called and prepared to preach in this hour. God, we ask for your direction and your blessing. I again, as I've already prayed today, I pray for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need to hear from heaven. God, I pray for an anointing so that I can communicate the word of God. And we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would speak to your children this morning and anybody that may be here or watching or listening, and they're not born again. They're not part of the family of God. They've never been saved. Saved from hell. Saved from the power of sin. Lord God, we pray that this morning they'd understand the gospel and today they would get born again. And we'll thank you for it. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. My Grandpa Rader had a saying. I wasn't real close to my Grandpa Rader because I was afraid of him. And he was a big, broad-shouldered man. He was had few words. And a lot of the time, you know, he had peppermint schnapps all over inside him. He got born again towards the end of his life. And I want to testify to that. If God in heaven can save my grandpa, he can save you. And he did save my grandpa. But I remember going over to his house as a little boy, and I was the oldest of all of the cousins, and he had this saying. He'd always ask me, he said, Chip, and that's what he called me. He says, how's your belly full of wrinkles? And a long time I didn't understand what he was saying, but what he was saying is, are you hungry? And I finally got to the place where I figured it out. I said, yeah, I'm hungry. And he said, sit right down there in that chair at the kitchen table. And my Grandma Rader would make up a glass of Nestle's Quick. Boy, that was a treat back then. And in my grandma's kitchen, you could always smell potatoes cooking. Man, I was always, and as a little boy, my belly was always full of wrinkles. Man, I was always ready to eat. Let me ask you this question this morning. Are you hungry for the Word of God? Are you hungry to get something from God's table this morning? And there's an invitation given to the entire church of Jesus Christ, the nation Israel, and all of the world. Come to God's table. You come to God's table, there's plenty of food there. There's a chair designed for you. If you'll come, you won't leave hungry. And he uses this as a parable. Now, here's Jesus eating at a Pharisee's home, sitting at the table. They're watching him with a critical eye, how he interacts. He heals a man who has the dropsy, and he knows what they're thinking. He said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And they're going to tell him no, but they're afraid to speak out at this point. He says, which of you having an ox or a cow and falls into a ditch on the Sabbath day, you won't get that ox or that cow out? You see, they were all wrapped up in externalism. What a mistake. All wrapped up in an appearance. What a mistake. Last Sunday morning, out of Matthew and chapter 6, I preached to you as best I could. I know it wasn't real eloquent. And I tried to tell you that religion, that New Testament Christianity is not show business. It's not supposed to be choreographed. It's not a performance. It's not about bright lights and a big microphone. The Church of Jesus Christ, the New Testament church, is not show business. So let's quit trying to copy Hollywood. Let's quit trying to copy Nashville. Let's be the church of Jesus Christ. And now Luke and chapter 14, Jesus is going to say this. It's not only is it not show business, it's not big business either. The bottom line isn't making money. The bottom line isn't self-promotion. It's not a corporate where we're going to slip up levels. That's not what it is. Here we are, Fundamental Baptist Church. We are in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We don't have to act like a church from Detroit or New York City or Hollywood or the West Coast or the East Coast. We are Uber people, a simple people, and we're to be a New Testament church called out of the world, called out and separated unto God, separated from the world and separated unto God. But make no mistake about it, it's not show business. That's phony. That involves actors. That involves things being choreographed. It is not show business and it's not big business. It's not about building an empire here in this world. Not at all. Now, Jesus understands what they're thinking. He is going to teach them a parable with a heavenly meaning, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The unsaved, they aren't going to get it. They will never get it until they surrender to Christ. But there's hidden, and he taught with parables until Calvary. Now the work is done. Now the whole world is supposed to know. Now we've got that great commission. 6 times Jesus gave it to his disciples. We're to be witnesses unto the whole world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Uttermost meaning not only the last places, but the last days, the very last moments. Let's look at what Jesus says here in Matthew. I'm sorry, Luke. I'm trying to preach Matthew. Luke and chapter 14, and we'll go right to verse 7. He put forth a parable to those which were bidden, which were invited. By the way, you're invited to that same table. There are 6,192 people in Kinross. If we were to just get 10% of them, we'd be a church of 600 people. There are 38,000 people in Chippewa County. There are 10,906 in Luce County. There are 5,309, that's Luce County. Mackinac County is the 10,906. That's 54,215 people. That's our Jerusalem. We're right smack dab in the middle of it. We're to build a church for the glory of God, a church that's going to be raptured from this world at the sound of the trumpet. What a glorious opportunity we have as children of God. And we're to invite people. The food is forever satisfying. Amen. It's free. It's paid for. You don't have to buy a ticket. It's for everybody who will come, whosoever may. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everybody is a candidate for God's mercy. Everybody is a candidate for forgiveness and to be a child of God. We don't have to sort that out. We deliver the goods. That's the job of the church. Now it says here in Luke and chapter 14 and verse 7, he put forth a parable to those which were bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms. He noticed how they were seated and how people rushed to the best seats. He marked that. He speaks a parable to this. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. He is speaking in verses 7 through 11 about a personal mindset. How they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them. So they wanted the best places, the best seats. I chuckle to myself when people come in late and somebody is in their pew. And you see them look around the auditorium and they almost like a little panic. Or maybe it happens in the parking lot and somebody gets your parking space. Your parking space. They don't know who I am. They don't know how important I am. They don't know what I am to this church. You know what you are to this church? You know how important you are to God? No, that's not how I want to say that. Because you are important to God. But as far as self-importance, you know how big it is? Just like that. And I was thinking about that this morning. That's in the original languages somewhere. That speaks how big we are. Just like that. That's how big we are. We think we're somebody sometimes. Yeah, but man, they're in my parking space. They don't know who I am. My great-granddaddy's buried in the foundation of that church. You know, they think it's all about, and this is the parable, this is what Jesus is saying. It is not about you, and it is not about me. It's inviting others to the table. It's putting others before ourselves. It's esteeming others better than ourselves. It's understanding that we're not really all that important, not in the grand scheme of things. Oh, we're important to God, but Jesus, he took note how they wanted the chief seats, the chief rooms. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him come and say unto thee, and this would be embarrassing, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, and when he bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of him that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. It's all about exalting Christ and not ourselves. Don't assume that you deserve something when you don't. This is the parable that Jesus is teaching. They're eating and he recognizes, he marks them. That guy's in a chief seat and he moved people to get there. That guy's in a good seat, ringside seat right here, and he moved people to get there. And he tells them, man, that's not the way it is in the family of God. The first thing he does is he deals with their hearts. He said, get the right mindset. Get your heart right with God. We're too self-important. We were in the post office. What day was that? Wednesday, Debbie? Or is Debbie up here? Was it Wednesday? Tuesday? Wednesday. I like to get all the facts right. We're standing in line to get our passport. We got our pictures already. You got to make an appointment to get a passport. So we have an appointment. We're standing in line. We're waiting our turn. We're almost to the front of the line. A post office is real busy. And a lady from the back of the line yells out, very not in a critical manner, but she was trying to be funny, all right? She's looking over and she says, I know who you are. And I look around, and it looks like she's looking right at me. And she says, I see you on my TV every Sunday morning. And I said, well, yeah. And she said, no, not you. Debbie, behind you. I see her in the choir every Sunday morning. So I know she's watching this morning. Sometimes we think we're something when we're really we're that. That's what we are, right? And there's a word of caution to all the choir members. People are watching you. They're looking. Man, I get a text from Mrs. Thieger every week. She's watching. I know she's watching. And she always loves the choir numbers. It's just, oh, what a blessing to my heart. It may not be a blessing to you, but it's a blessing. It's a blessing to some people. People are watching all of the time. Let's not get too big for our own britches. Let's not think we're something when we're nothing. As children of God, man, a sinner saved by grace, just like you. Just like you. We ought to esteem others better than ourselves. And he says, this is the reason for this parable, that we would understand really and have the right mindset. I just read a book, and it's about pastoring a church. And it made this statement: the shepherd ought to smell like the sheep. And I've been thinking about that all week. It's not the first time I heard it, first time I read it. The shepherd ought to smell like the sheep. Any preacher that gets too good and too big and too important to minister to his own people ought to get out of the ministry. Right. Ought to be just like you. And in real life, a shepherd does smell like a sheep, right? And that's, we ought to, instead of worrying about who's first, put our shoulder to the plow. Get involved in the work of God. And you might be somebody that doesn't have a title, but you still think you're important. That's too bad. God loves you. And you're so important that Jesus went to the cross for you, but don't think you're expendable. You know, he could choose somebody else to do the work. And we get to be chosen of God. It says, lowest seat, verse 12, promised blessings. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made to thee. In other words, don't minister to people to get. Don't be looking for people. We need to be givers, not takers. When you get, and everybody is a taker at one time or another. We're needy people, obviously. All right? But you talk about Christian maturity, those are the givers, not the takers. The takers are gimme, gimme, gimme. I'm needy, I'm needy, I'm needy, I need, I need, I need. And but those that walk with Christ and grow in grace, they end up being the givers. They're the ones that esteem others better than themselves. They're the ones that don't take the chief seats at the table. They're the ones that minister and look for ways to give and look for ways to be a blessing to people at every turn. And this is what Jesus is saying here. And to say this, let's be an evangelistic church. Let's be a church that is reaching all of the time. Let's never get to the idea where it's we four and no more. We're big enough. We don't need any more people. How are we going to feed them all, Jesus? Let's be givers and not takers. Let's be people that are involved in the work of God. Servants, he says in verse 13. 12, he says, you minister to people and you invite people that can't pay you back. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. By the way, in Jesus speaking to the Jews, speaking to the disciples, speaking to the nation Israel, that part of this parable is us. That's us. We're the outsiders. We're the Gentile world. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt not be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. He just can't help himself. One of the disciples that's sitting there just blurts out, man, won't heaven be grand? Won't heaven be good when we really are around God's table? And the obvious answer to that is yes. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The best truly is yet to come as children of God. In the meantime, we're here and we're to have a great feast. And we're to set the table. And we're to not take the chief seats. And we're to reach out. And later on, he's going to tell us into the highways. Into the hedges. That's the poor folks. Let me read on here. Verse 15. 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man, here's a parable, made a great supper and bade many, invited all kinds of people. Here are principles for evangelism. He sent his servant, that would be John the Baptist in this parable, by the way, but it applies to the soul winner in the church of Jesus Christ. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." That's fortune. Another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray to thee, have me excused." That's vocation. Verse 20, and another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." That is family. You can come up with all kinds of rationale and excuses for not serving God. Jesus covers it all here. But none of them are good enough. You can't make an excuse that is worthy of keeping you to surrendering to the will of God in your life. Not a one. 21, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." The servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." Verse 23. The Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and the hedges." The hedges. That's the barriers between the fields. That's where the poor people live. The people that don't even have a home. Or in the bramble, they carve out a dwelling place. That's the two tracks. That's the places up here where no one else has ever gone and visited. As a child of God, we're responsible for them and compel them. He says, do it quickly in verse 21, and then compel them to come in that my house may be filled. You can't talk anyone into getting saved. You can't talk anyone into getting to heaven. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the saving. But we need to persuade. As a people of God, Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. I stand before them and I give to them truth. Man, as a child of God, we have so much on our plates. There are so many people that need to be and must be reached in whatever time is left these last days. Yesterday, half a dozen, maybe 8 people were born again. Not church people, at a funeral. Praise God. Unless you're here during the week, because I forget to mention it all the time. This is a weekly occurrence in different events. Last Monday night at men's basketball, another man got saved. Greg, who's down preaching in Roscommon this morning, representing the camp, but he led a man to the Lord. That's 2 Mondays in a row. That's a pretty good basketball program right there. They're 2-0. Man, those are wins. Inviting outside men to play ball with a bunch of church men, younger men probably, a bunch of church men. I don't even come over to it anymore. I don't even like. And they lead people to the Lord. Man, that's really what it's all about as children of God. There's a banquet. These are principles of evangelism. And we need to get a hold of it. Look at verse 24. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes, talking about those with the excuses. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, Jesus isn't saying to hate your family. This is comparative language. He's saying your love for God ought to make your love for your family look like hate. I mean, that's how big it ought to be. You know what he's saying? Exactly what Jesus said in Matthew in chapter 6 that we studied last week. Jesus first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Man, I love my kids. I love my grandkids. My love for God ought to be so much bigger than that. You say, how can you quantify that? I don't know, but Jesus first. He's to receive the preeminence. That means that I would never, never, never love my child more than I love my God. That means I would never point my child away from the truths of God. I would never put them in front of my God. It's not supposed to happen. Not in the child of God. He's talking about being a disciple. He's talking about being a mature Christian. He's talking about getting outside your little box where it's me first and self-promotion and self-made and my family only, getting beyond that. He said, you get out there and you make a feast. I'm putting together a feast. I want you to invite everybody you can to God's table. They said, Lord, we've done it. We've gone everywhere, yet there's room. What a wonderful message. There's still room at the foot of the cross for your loved ones. If you're here and you're not saved, there's still room for you. You can get born again. You can come and become a child of God. There's plenty of food there. No one's going to leave that table hungry. You won't have any wrinkles in your belly when you get done feasting at God's table. I guarantee you that. And Jesus said, you go out, you get them. You go out quickly and you compel them to come in. A little zeal. A little earnestness. Some tears along the way. Show people you really care for their soul. You really love them. What a challenge. A challenge from God that we need to take and take to heart. There's lots of room. He says here, you be humble. You help the helpless. You go find those takers. They have nothing to give. They are a precious soul. And you work God's work, and you do it now, quickly, and compel them to come in. Say, preacher, how are we going to do that? Jesus every day. Jesus every day in April and in May. You get your Bible reading in, your prayer time in, and you hand out that gospel tract. Or to reach out over the sea, across the street, and down the road all at the same time. As a child of God, there's a lot in front of us. We got the Chuck Harding revival meeting May the 7th. That ought to be bathed in prayer. We ought to be going after that wholeheartedly. We've got the June Kinross Blitz, where we hit every house in Kinross with the gospel. It's a great opportunity. We got a lot before us, a lot to be involved in. We need to be praying and doing our part in this building program. God is in it. It's very obvious to me. Very obvious. And I just want you to pray and ask God what your part is. And you do your part. You know, in big ministries, big time ministries, some of them are brothers, and I know them real well, they're in big cities. They hire firms to raise money. They pay tens of thousands of dollars. Last guy I was talking to, they paid $80,000 to a firm to put out their need for their building program, postcards and glossy things and going in all directions and social media and all that. They pay all of that money, but we can't do that here at Fundamental Baptist Church. Number one, I'm not comfortable doing that. Not at all. But we can depend on God. And God the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of God's people. We met with a contractor this week. He's going to give us a final figure. I was very hopeful. I think we got enough to do the one side. And if we got enough to do the one side already, how about we get it all done? How about we not only have expansion on the auditorium, but that new nursery over here and the elevator over here and a new little foyer and a little foyer all emptying into the auditorium and the drive under out front. We probably need another $200,000 to $250,000. And a month ago, I'd have said, Ben, that's impossible. But I'm going to pray for it. That's impossible. How many of you pray with me about that? Raise your hand. You pray. $250,000. Let's just do that, all right? I'm not asking you for $250,000. Unless you got it. All right. I'm letting God ask you. I want you to be part of that. Maybe it's the widow's mites. That's fine. And I don't ever need to know what you give unless you want me to know. And that's not how it works. Let's see what God can do. You know what? Time's running out. We know it. Let's get done for God. Everything we can get done. Let's invite as many people. That's why we're doing the Kinross Blitz. And that's why we're having that revival meeting on May the 7th. That's why it's Jesus every day in April and in May. That's why we're handing out all those gospel tracts. Because your neighbor and my neighbor, they might be going to hell. And we need to reach them with the truth.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.